Amen. Hallelujah. No wonder, amen, the writers talked about it as fire. Amen. Shut up in my bones. Glory to God. Reading from the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 7. I won't keep you standing long. Just want to read verses 13 and 14. Again, from the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, Lord, for your holy word. How thankful we are for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that we feel in this place today. God, I pray that it would set souls free. Pray, God, that you would just minister us today in a special way. God, help me to get out of the way. Lord, and let the Spirit begin to minister to us. God, I ask that you use these lips of clay, this vessel this morning, God, as an oracle, God, that you might speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that your word will go forth this morning, God. God, and it will accomplish that you intend it to do. Father, I pray for those who are sick. Many are afflicted. Father, we remember them in prayer this morning, praying a very special prayer of healing. We ask you now to just be with us in a mighty way. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen.
Praise God. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, and I kind of wrestled with this and tried to get the verbiage right, but the title of this message this morning would be Trying to Widen the Path. Trying to Widen the Path. Let's look back just a few minutes, if we will, and see where Jesus is coming from. Many refer to this as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins this chapter telling us, judge not, that you be not judged. He goes on to begin to address situations, how we are to treat one another, how we are to love one another, how it is an honor and a privilege for us to be able to ask and receive, knock, and it shall be open, seek, and you shall find. Begins to tell us how that we want to be addressed ourselves, we should address others in the way that we expect to be addressed. Basically, he's talking about what characteristics and qualities there is in a born-again life. How that we as Bible believers need to treat one another. Amen. And then he brings up this particular subject, this topic, about the gate. The wide gate and the narrow gate. And he makes an analysis or a proven fact that they are exactly opposite. There's a contrast there. The broad gate and the broad way is a popular way. And he said, many there be that go that way. He said, there's another way that's opposite or in opposition to this wide gate and the wide way. And he said, that's a straight gate and a narrow way. He says, few there be that find it. And I believe with all of my heart that the Lord wants us to walk a certain way. The Bible is full of guidelines. The Bible is full of commandments, instruction as to how we are to live a Christian life, and how we are to operate as a born-again Christian. But can I tell you today that what I see alarms me? Man, it's almost like flashing lights, spiritual lights going off, because I'm so afraid that many, many born-again believers are trying to lean on their own understanding rather than the Word and the instruction of God. And if I might say this morning that Jesus, in his word, has set forth parameters, guidelines, and instructions that we are to adhere to. Here he uses the analysis of a wide gate and a narrow gate. The Bible says one leads to destruction, one needs to life. Have we, as Christians, not maybe intentionally, but have we attempted to widen or broaden the way that leadeth to life? By our ideals, by our opinions, and even by our interpretation, maybe, or so-called interpretation of God's Word. I'd like to maybe bring five examples this morning that God has laid upon my heart this week that has kind of brought up a little warning flag that I see happening in the world today. First one would be trying to go around certain things. There was a time when the Word of God was preached and the Word of God was expected to be obeyed. Seems like we're living in a day and an hour that it's more like a multiple choice. It's what we can find in the Word that agrees with our lifestyle or our opinion or our way of life, rather than making our lives measure up to the Word of God. Now, understand, I'm talking in general this morning. I'm talking to things that you and I are aware of that's happening in the world around us. And we may stay in our little sanctuary of praise and worship and obey the Lord and says that'll never affect us. But I will disagree with that. It will eventually affect us. If nothing else, we will become introverted. We will become more as one who worships and praises the Lord in the confines of our sanctuary, when the Bible explicitly told us to go out into the highways and into the hedges, amen, and begin to compel them and preach the Word of God to those folks that are out there. So I would dare say, as the world kind of tends to make the way or try to make the way broadened and more accessible, it will eventually affect our church if we don't stand up and take notice. Trying to go around certain things. Can I tell you this morning, we cannot ever, under any circumstances, detour from the Word of God. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is not, there's not an error in it. We must obey it. We must read it. We must study it. And we must apply it to our lives. There's too many people picking and choosing what good tidbits they find in the Word of God and base their relationship with the Lord. Let me tell you something. It is popular. That's the reason the way is broad. That's the reason the gate is wide. Because people are looking for an easy way. They're looking for something that satisfies their flesh. They're looking for something that appeases them, that condones their lifestyle. Do you understand we're living in a society where it's almost horrible to speak anything, amen, that's listed as a sin in the Bible? People don't want to hear that. They want to hear how good God is, and He is good, how gracious He is, and He is full of grace. But He also has guidelines, amen, that we are to adhere to many, many times. And I was praying and seeking God this week, and the little paths that I'm accustomed to seeing. And I do spend quite a bit of time in the woods, and I've noticed that some trails are constantly used. And they're called game trails. Brother Jim, I noticed how narrow they are. They have found that using those game trails, some lead to bedding areas, some lead to feeding grounds, others lead to a place of, of protection or whatever, but they're not very broad. That's because they have walked the same path. Listen to me, church. They have walked the same path. In the morning, in the evening, they don't detour whatever the climate is, whatever the problems is, through the storms, through the good times, through the bad. They're walking the same path. They don't vary from it. They don't detour from it. And I thought, God, if we as a church, if we as a people can remain true to Your Word, if we can walk that same narrow path, regardless of circumstance, regardless of situations, regardless of problems and affliction, if we can
can be true, God, if we can be consistent, if we can walk in that straight and narrow way, God, and not detour and not try to make the way broad to fit our lifestyle. Trying to go around certain things. Things that you don't want to hear. Well, the Bible doesn't really mean that. Yes, it does. Come on, church, who am I? Who are you to say the Bible doesn't mean that? If it's written there, it was written for our benefit. It was written, amen, for us as a guideline and a book of instructions, amen, that we are to walk by, that we are to live by and apply to our life on a daily basis. Walk that straight and narrow. Well, Brother Eddie, that's not real popular. Come on, it's never been popular. It's not about being popular. Glory to God. I'm not here to please man. I'm not here to please my flesh. I'm here, amen, to please Almighty God. Because this is not my home. I've got a home beyond the skies. I've got a home in glory. Amen. Glory to God. Where there'll be no sickness. Where there'll be no sadness, no sorrow. And praise God, there'll be no more death. But I got to walk that straight and narrow. I got to be obedient to the power of God. Amen. And not try to get around certain things. Amen. Certain things. Well, the Bible, that was just for the disciples. No. Come on. It's for us today. Come on. You'll find people all the time trying to say certain things is not applicable today. Yes, it is. I'm here today to tell you, I got to believe the whole Word of God. Amen. I got to walk by the whole Word of God. Quit looking for trying to wait to get convenience and things around them. And when that happens, what you do is you attempt to broaden the way that Jesus said is a narrow way. I want you to understand the narrow way is not an impossible way. It's not. Amen. The narrow way, if you'll be true to God's way, He will make a way. Amen. You don't need a broad way. Amen. You need a narrow focus. Amen. You need to keep your eyes focused on God. Glory to God. I've seen sometimes when an old mule wants to get out of a plow, out of a furrow, first thing they do is put blinders on it. Amen. God put spiritual blinders on me. I can't help what the world's doing. I can't help what's popular. I can't help what the world is describing. I got to keep my eyes focused on you. I got to walk that straight and narrow. Quit trying to make it wider than it is. Amen. Just be true. Every day walk in that same path. Amen. For the Lord. Quit trying to widen the path. Secondly, there's a feeling today, and almost it's something that we think we have to do to be able to get along in this world, and we have to be like the crowd. So much so that if we can bring some of the world into the church, maybe those folks will maybe enjoy church more and we'll have bigger crowds. We don't want to change the path. We just want to broaden it a little. Because I believe God wants us to reach out to all folks. Can I tell you today, it is an abomination what some churches are bringing into their sanctuary to appease people. Can I tell you, I love every one of you, but God did not call me to appease you. God did not call me to entertain you. God did not call me to pat you on the back and say everything is rosy. God called me to be a minister. God called me to tell them we must repent. We must be baptized. We must be filled with the Spirit. We must walk that straight and narrow path. Quit trying to be like the world. The world needs to be like God's people. Amen. And if you're trying to be like them, you won't ever win them. Man. God's people are different. Amen. God's people are dedicated, committed. Amen. Regardless of what happens, we must remain true. Not walk as others walk. As the world walks, following the crowd can and may lead you to the wrong way. In many instances, we see it today.
on the newsreels. We see it today. We even, in our little presentation that we had about being prepared, so many times when you follow the crowd, man, that's the wrong place to go. It said, seek that way of escape. I know this is just common knowledge that was taught, but I think we can apply it spiritually too. When you walk into a place that you've never been before, in today's environment, and we know what that's all about, amen, look for a way of escape. Look for the easiest path to get out. Amen. Because when panic strikes, amen, when something happens, all the crowd may go to one way. And many times, that's exactly where the person, the one that's doing the damage, is going to attract his attention or her attention. When you have found a way of escape, it may be a narrow pathway. Amen. But broad is the path that leadeth to destruction, and narrow. Search out that way. Lord, I don't want to try to make it easy. Lord, I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to follow after the styles and the things of this world. Help me to remain true to You. Not to walk as others walk, Lord, but I want to walk where You would have me to walk. The third one this morning that I want to address is backtracking. Not backsliding, but backtracking. My granddaddy told me of a person that where he grew up in the neighborhood of Rockmart, and it was a gentleman that had some type of affliction, and basically what would happen, for every two steps that he was able to take, his body would cause him to backtrack about three or four steps. In fact, it took him a long time to walk down the streets. I forgot exactly what condition it was it had. But my granddaddy saw that and he said, how many spiritual Christians are doing the same thing? We'll make about two steps of progress. And then first thing you know, we done backtracked three or four steps. And what we're doing, we're not gaining. Come on, we're not growing. We're not producing for God. We're going through the same motions of come and getting repentance for the same old thing, for the same old issues, for the same old problems, when we ought to be making progress. And let me tell you something, folks. To make that way straight and narrow is to not quit, is to not keep going and back and doing the same things over and over and over. But it's learning from our mistakes, walking by faith, putting our faith and trust in God, and going forward, man, retracing steps when victory has already been won, making the same mistakes over and over. Fourth is something that the world has really taken advantage of, and that's shortcuts. Come on. Shortcuts are good in some areas, but not in God's Word. Not in serving God. Not in walking for the Lord. Stay on the path. It may look like it's winding and narrow, and it may look like there's a better way. But let me tell you something. There is no better way. Regardless of what man teaches, regardless, as though an angel of light come, come on, teaching or preaching anything else than what the apostles preach, let him be a lie. The straight and narrow. Don't look for shortcuts in God's Word. Simply obey God's Word. Live it out fully. Apply it to our lives. Come on, the race is not to the swift, but the race is the one that He endures. Amen. I'm not one that thinks I got to finish first. I just got to finish. Amen. I got to finish what God started in my life, regardless of what obstacles, regardless of what pitfalls. I got too much to go to heaven for. I can't go back to what God delivered me from. Thank God that He came into my life. I'm not looking for shortcuts. Finally, this morning, the last thing that I want to address is maybe many have lost sight of the goal. It's not about the journey. Come on, we're so obsessed with the journey. We're so frustrated with things that we have to go through day in and day out. Brother Jim, it's not about the journey. It's about the finish line.
Come on, it's about the finish line. Heaven is my goal. That was my goal when I started out. It's still my goal. Glory to God. And if I think more about what is to come instead of what I'm going through, amen, my eyes will be on the goal. Instead of looking around and finding every fault, every situation, amen, to mumble and grumble and complain about, my eyes are set on the goal. Glory to God. I want to make heaven my home. I want to have life eternal with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who bought and paid for my salvation, amen, and he went along and prepared a place for me. Where he is, I may be also. As I began to list these things, I began to realize there was a parallel. There was a similar situation. I was intrigued, and I went and found some of my Bibles, and I looked at some of the wilderness journeys that are depicted in the map, where the children of Israel, after 400 years of bondage, was set free. And I began to look from the place where they left Egypt to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And I began to look, and you Bible readers know what I'm talking about. It's not that far. You would think that they had to travel halfway around the world because it took them 40 years. But it's not that far. But you begin to look at the little marks that they made and the trek that they made. And it's not as the crow flies, so to speak. It was not a straight and narrow way. It looked like a plate of spaghetti. Come on, they had go this way and then they'd come back. And then they'd go that way and then they'd go this way. And if you read that, amen, that didn't happen over a week or two. That happened year after year after year. And if you remember, Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb had their hands full trying to keep the people focused because they kept saying, we need a better way. Come on, when the preacher hears that from the church, there is no better way. Amen, you're not looking for something that's going to be popular. You're not going to be looking for something that's modernized. I got nothing to preach to you except the old way. And the old way is the only way through the Word of God. But they went around and around and back and forth, amen, backtracking, losing sight of the goal, murmuring, complaining, nothing's ever right. Amen. Don't let us fall into those habits. Come on, help us keep our mind focused. Walk that straight, narrow. I remember as a young child hearing messages preached on that, and I've always had a vivid imagination. And in my mind, I was imagining this big, beautiful, wide gate, and just about 80% of their people were just flocking through that thing. And then you looked over, or in my imagination, and you saw this old gate that wasn't beautiful, wasn't appealing to look at, wasn't real popular. And there was a few people that was coming there. Amen. Because they wasn't concerned about the beauty of the gate. Wasn't concerned about what kind of social programs they have in the church. Wasn't even really concerned about what kind of band or music they had or what songs they sung or whether they had young people's programs or not. And I'm not saying anything bad about those. They're wonderful. They're good. They're encouraging. But if that's all we're looking for, we're looking at a broad gate. Oh, many people are looking for that way, that popular way. But in my mind, I saw this little old ragtag gate. Kind of maybe rusty and in my mind and very, very narrow. And here come a few. And there was something different about the expression on the faces of these few. Come on. They were focused. They were honed in. They weren't looking around to see what everybody else was doing. It wasn't judgmental. It wasn't hateful. It wasn't spiteful. They were humble.
They were submissive. They were obedient to God. They were almost like the Pharisee and was praying, and the publican, and these were almost like the publican. They smote themselves on the chest and they said, God, have mercy on me. God, I know I'm not what I want to be. God, I'm not what you want me to be, but God, make me what you want me to be. God, forgive me of my sin. God, forgive me of all those things that are wrong. God, purge me. Create within me a right spirit, God. I'm not about popularity. I'm not about being big. I'm not about all of these things of the world. God, I've got my mind on the gate. I got my mind on the straight and narrow. God, I got to make it. God, if I lose out now, God, I can't ever. God, I've got to make it. It's my goal. Help me in the straight and narrow. Glory to God. But few there be that find it. God, what is so special about the straight and narrow? You know, some folks think that you can't have joy when you walk the straight and narrow. I beg to differ. Basically, it's what you consider to be joy. Come on. There's things in this world that'll give you a little bit of joy, but it's short-lived. And I'll tell you something else about the world. It's never enough. The little joy that you experienced yesterday is not enough for today. Come on, I need a bigger thrill. I need more joy. Come on. I'm not satisfied. But let me tell you about the joy that God gives. You can be penniless. You can be afflicted from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Your friends can say, what in the world do you think? You live your life for God and this is what you get? Because they can't see the joy that's bubbling up in my spirit. Because they're looking at my flesh. They're looking at those things around me. When my joy is not about my flesh, my joy is not what material things that I have been able to accumulate. My joy is not what people think about me. My joy, hallelujah, doesn't come from artificial things. My joy is an inward joy that's bubbling up day and night. Glory to God. And let me tell you about this joy. Satan cannot take it. He didn't give it, and he cannot take it away. That joy that is within me is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God for the straight and narrow. Quit trying to widen the path. Quit trying to make it more convenient. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith the preacher. Not thus saith denomination. Not thus saith organization. Come on, I think we listen to the wrong voices sometimes. I got to obey the voice of God. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Something about the old paths. Glory to God. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, saint of God, are you restless?
Are you weary? Are you forlorn? Come on. Are you disappointed? Are you kind of down and out and stressed out? Seek ye the old paths, the good way. Amen. And walk therein. Glory to God. Again, it's not about appeasing the flesh. It's about making sure your soul is right. Glory to God. None of us know the day nor the hour that we're going to leave this walk of life. But let me tell you, when you've walked in the straight and narrow, glory to God, you don't have to worry about where your destination is. Amen. You know that when you close your eyes in death, glory to God, you're going to wake up in a glorious place prepared. The old path, where's the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We don't think we have to do that. Come on. If you're a God of love and mercy, you ought to let me do what I want to do. We're not going to be dedicated. We're not going to be committed. We're going to walk in our own ways and still expect the blessings of God. So God, we're not looking to destroy the old way. We just want to make it a little easier. Just a little wider. This is a different era. This is a modern. You got to allow a little bit more, God. Come on, that's the world's way of looking. Come on. Let me tell you something. I grew up in a church. I'd pull my toes so far up under that pew. Because my granddaddy was all over them. Many times I thought, Pop, can't you preach a little bit less hard? You're scaring me to death. But he would not vary. He would not attempt to broaden the way. Even though he loved me as flesh and blood, he told me, you still got to walk the straight and narrow. You still got to find the way of God. Don't go out after the world. Amen. And thank God for that preaching. Thank God for that anointed word. But I'm so afraid the church world of today has took it upon themselves to make it a little more easy, a little more digestible. And every time the path gets a little wider and a little wider and a little wider. I want to leave you with this thought. Again, referring to the game trails. The wider the path, the less deep it is. Just think about it. But when that path is narrow, there's no growth in that little path. Because it's been the same hoof marks. It's been the same marks. Walking in and day out. But you make the path wider. And sometimes you can't tell which is the right way. But the deepness of the straight and narrow path, you can walk it in the dark. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because it's not about easy. It's not about convenience. It's about leading us in the right way. Church, let's don't be guilty of trying to broaden the way. Trying to get God to accept our lifestyle rather than measuring up to His Word and His commandment. That's what gets us in trouble so many times. But if we'll be submissive, seek the old paths. The old paths, amen, are not outdated. They're not. They're not old fogey. Amen. They're tried, they're true, they're proven. Amen. God's way is not going to change for any generation. Amen.
And I'm glad that he is not about change. What the change is, we need to change. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Glory to God. Praise God. If our music would come. I want to close with this, if I can, this morning. You see, what has helped me with the past is the price that Jesus paid at Calvary. If y'all will give me E flat. I know I'll be all right once I touch Calvary. Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry. Don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten. I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If my feeble hands of flesh could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if he'll slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. Hallelujah. Very soon now, I'll reach the hill Golgotha. I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be all right now that I've reached Calvary. If my feeble hands of flesh could only reach out the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if he'll slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be alright soon as I touch Calvary. Slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. With every head bowed this morning, if you've not touched Calvary, if you've not been to an altar of old-fashioned altar of repentance, don't know why you're putting it off. I don't know why you would wait to a more convenient time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you need to turn your life over to the Lord, please come. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. This could be the very best day of your life. The day that you give your life to Jesus and begin to take that journey and walk that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. there one this morning with every head that is bowed, every eye closed, if there's one that just needs prayer, would you lift your hand? This pastor knows and sees your hand, and I'll be praying for you. May God bless you. We love you and we appreciate you. Be with us tonight. We're going to have a night of singing and praising and worshiping the Lord. This is the last Sunday night of the month, and we're just going to worship the Lord tonight. Let the Lord have His way. God bless you. Brother Jim, would you come?